Well, a guy who certainly presses in is Stephen Kendrick. Stephen and Alex Kendrick are what all behind the movie Courageous. Speaks to guys all over the nation about the importance of being a dad. He shares about his grandfather. Stephen's got five kids. And now we're going to kind of revert back to your primary role as a dad. You granddads, you're also a dad. We want to make sure that you're staying the course. Build into those sons and daughters. And Stephen continues to reinforce the principles that we need to follow.
Men, the reason that we don't have a godly nation is because we don't have godly churches. When the church gets right, the nation gets healed. But the reason we don't have godly churches is because we don't have godly families making up those churches. The reason we don't have godly families is because we don't see godly men stepping up and leading their families. When I was a kid, I learned a lot about my heritage. And one of the things that that blew me away was what my father did for my family. My father was a chain breaker. You know what a chain breaker is? Chain breaker is a man who says, regardless of what my dad did right or wrong in my life, I'm going to break the chain and I'm going to begin a new legacy for my family, a legacy of spiritual leadership in my home. My great-grandfather was a man named Walter Clarence. And when he was in his 20s, he told God, he said, God, leave me alone. I want to live life for myself. And so he went out and lived a wild life for 40 years. During that time, he fathered my grandfather, a man named William. My grandfather grew up to be 7 feet tall. I used to hug his knees when I was a kid, okay? But he was an alcoholic. He saw a bad example of his father living for the devil, living for himself, and he grew up to live for himself as well. And he would spend the money that he would earn on alcohol rather than on taking care of his family. He ran around on my grandmother. And my dad grew up with a father who was not being the spiritual leader of his home. And my father, as a result of it, was very afraid and insecure growing up. They were poor because the money was not helping their family. It was helping to satisfy the addiction of my grandfather. But something happened. My great-grandfather, when he was 65 years old, went to a church meeting, heard the gospel, and surrendered his life to Christ. And at 65 years of age, Walter Clarence got right with God. And he began to say, you know what? I've wasted a lot of my life, but I want to spend the last years of my life doing it as best as I can. And so he reached out to his son William, which was my grandfather. And my grandfather saw the example of his dad, and he walked down the aisle in his church and said, if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now. And he gave his life to Christ. Then my great-grandfather gave my dad, who was a 13-year-old boy at that time, a Bible. And he said, don't make the same mistakes I made. Live for God. And my dad said, the buck stops here. He says, just like Truman said it, he says, I'm going to be a spiritual leader of my home. I'm going to love my wife and be faithful to her, unlike my dad. I'm going to let my kids grow up knowing the love of their earthly father, unlike I experienced when I was growing up with my dad. And so we grew up in a home where we saw spiritual leadership lived out. We saw our dad praying on behalf of our family. Now, he didn't know what spiritual leadership looked like because he didn't see it with his dad. And so he's watching other men and learning from them. And he's going to God's word and he's learning what he's supposed to be doing as the husband and the father of his home. And so I've seen faithfulness there between my mom and dad. But I remember at times in my life where I would stumble on my dad. Instead of reading pornography, I'd stumble upon him on his knees in prayer on behalf of our family. And my brothers and I grew up seeing a godly man. And our dad became our hero. I don't know if you know it, but God has put in the hearts of children to see their father as their hero. It says in Proverbs 27, verse 6, the glory of children are their fathers. They look at their dad and they want to grow up and be like dad. And if dad loves them and affirms them and spends time with them and says, follow me as I follow Christ, that kid is 20 times more likely to follow Christ if dad steps up with spiritual leadership. But statistics show us that a kid is 20 times more likely to end up in jail if his dad disconnects from him and does not invest in his life. So we're going to talk about spiritual leadership this morning. And I'm going to share with you some of the research that we've stumbled upon and learned, but also what God's Word says about our role as spiritual leaders of our homes. The future success of the next generation hinges on the success of the fathers of this generation. The statistics are showing us that prisoners, drug users, dropouts, runaways, and rapists all share something in common. The overwhelming majority of them today come from fatherless homes where dad is not there leading spiritually. And so it's a dad's job to help his children to win in life. I want you to view it as your responsibility to be the leader of your marriage and your kids. And your job is to help them win in life and win in God's eyes as well. Josh McDowell says the most powerful platform of influence in any culture is the daddy in that culture. And if the daddy will step up and lead, the children of the next generation will be impacted in a positive way. David Moreau writes this. He did research in Switzerland. And guess what happens when moms lead but dads do not? Only 2% of kids end up staying in church and sticking with God if mom is the spiritual leader of the home, but dad is checked out. But they flipped it and they said, what happens when mom is out of the picture, but dad steps up? Kids are 22 times more likely to live for Christ when dad steps up. God is not rebuking women. I thank God for the women who are doing their best to reach over and grab the wheel while their husbands sleep to try to keep the family together. And I praise God for them. I thank God for them. But it's not their job. It's your job. It's my job. And it's an honor. It's a privilege for us to do that. And so, are men leading right now in the churches? No, they're not. In fact, other than the role of a pastor, every other spiritual position in churches are now being taken over by women. Because here's what women do. God's put it in them. Women fill a leadership void. If men leave a void, if they let go of the wheel, the women, out of necessity, will begin to fill those leadership voids. And that's what we see happening all across our nation, is that women more and more are having to step up out of necessity because the men are checking out. And then we're also seeing men growing up and they don't know what it means to be a man. I'm grateful for the one of the speakers who's talking about getting the boy out of your life, evicting him out of your life. I was in a senior Sunday school class recently of boys, 12th grade boys about to graduate. And I asked them, I went around the room and I said, are you a man? Yes, no, or I don't know. One by one, I went through all the boys. None of them said yes. All of them said, no, I'm not a man, or I don't know. And if you were to ask yourself that question, when do you become a man? And what does it mean to be a man? This generation doesn't know. Do I become a man when I get my driver's license at 16? Do I become a man when I turn 18 and I can go into the military? Do I become a man when I can vote or when I turn 21 and I'm legal, when I have sex for the first time? When do I become a man and what does it mean to be a man? So here's what we have. Our generation, these young boys are growing up. They waste their adolescent years on this myth of adolescence that I'm not supposed to be responsible for anything. And then when they become in their 20s, now a report just came out in New York Times that talks about that boys are growing up and they're extending childhood all the way into their 30s. And they still let mom run their lives. And they don't know what it means to be a man. They're not getting married. They're spending their time hanging out with the guys, playing video games, watching television, and they're wasting their lives. Well, guess what? It's a father's job to call his son into manhood. It's a dad's job to say, like in the Jewish community, when a boy turned 13, at his bar mitzvah, the word bar means son of, and mitzvah means law. He says, son, as of this point in your life, you are accountable to the law of God, the word of God. You're accountable for your actions. And he would begin to read the law of God at that point of his life. And the father would hold up his son in front of all these other men. And he'd say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Today, son, you're a man. And from this day forward, I'm going to treat you like a man. And those boys grew up knowing that even in their teenage years, they had to embrace responsibility. Well, you and I didn't grow up with that. Nobody taught our dads how to do that. And so we've been wondering, when do I become a man and what does it mean to be a man? And God's word is telling us. God is saying, you are a man. Step up to the responsibilities I've given you and embrace the spiritual leadership role that I've given you. The devil's strategy is to take out men. If you think about it, in a battle, who do you shoot at? You shoot at the leader over that battle. You want to keep a team out of the Super Bowl? You take out their quarterback. If you're playing chess, how do you win chess? You put the king in checkmate. And that's what happens. The devil is after men. He's trying to get you to disengage from your wife, disengage from your kids. Right now, there's so many men that are not even getting married. They'll get a girl pregnant and they just abandon the kids. And so that's his strategy, is to take us out. At the same time, the media is taking away the heroic examples of what men are supposed to look like. You know, our dads grew up with the Lone Ranger. You know, he wore a white hat, and he did the right thing, and he stopped the bad guys. You know, or Superman stood for truth, justice, and the American way. Do you remember that? But this generation, who's their hero? Homer Simpson. You know, he's the example of what a man is supposed to look like. Now, our dads had, at least they had Andy Griffith or Ward Cleaver, you know, or Father Knows Best. You know, there were these honorable examples, and they were men who were faithful to their wives, and they led their kids, and they had the right answer, and they provided for their homes. You would never imagine Ward Cleaver sleeping around on June, you know, or Andy Griffith looking at pornography on the internet. You just wouldn't imagine those things, okay? But now in our generation, think about the examples of men that are on television shows. Their wives are smarter than them. Their kids outwit them. They're perverted. They got dirty mouths. They're funny, but they're passive and irresponsible. And that's what our generation has grown up seeing as an example of fatherhood. And the devil has done that intentionally. The feminist movement has intentionally tried to steal patriarchy and take away that role for men. Part of that is a backlash because so many men have been hateful and they've been abusive to their wives. And so the backlash is these women say, we don't need men. Abortion in 1973, when abortion hit, one of the key things was now they said a woman can have an abortion with her decision alone. And that decision by the courts said that men are no longer responsible for their kids. They don't have to take care of their own kids. They have no say in the matter. And then no-fault divorce disconnects dads from their kids. So right now in our generation, 40% of kids are in a home every day without the voice of their father in their lives, speaking into their lives, influencing them, and guiding the decisions that they're making. That's been a very intentional strategy by the devil. Well, what does Scripture say? Scripture says God wants you to lead. I don't know if you have your Bibles this morning. I want to encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to be reading this passage in Genesis chapter 1. God's call from the beginning has been for men to lead. In fact, you see in the Bible the vital importance of male leadership. In fact, 9 chapters of the book of 1 Chronicles are just lists of men as leaders of their households, one after another. And that was God's picture. And when men step up, great, amazing things happen. In the book of Nehemiah, how did Nehemiah build this whole wall in the face of all the enemies? He called the men as fathers and leaders of their homes to step up and to lead their families to stand in the gap and rebuild the walls, which is what we need to happen in our culture. All of God's covenants in the Old Testament and in the New Testament were covenants calling men to step up. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are fathers, these are leaders, these are men. They are spiritually responsible for their families. And God was having his covenants with them. And when he did that, it impacted everybody up underneath him. So what are the consequences in Scripture when men don't lead? Well, you see men like Eli, whose sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were ungodly men. And you see the consequences that happened on the whole nation because Eli, even though he loved God, he did not lead his family well. Or you see in James when he says, it is our role as Christians to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. What causes a person to be fatherless or a widow? You remove the man. And God says when that happens, there's devastation in that home. Those kids grow up without an understanding of who they are or what God's called them to do or to be. David Blankenhorn says this. He did research. He wrote a book called Fatherless America. He said, never before in this country have so many children been voluntarily abandoned by their fathers. Never before have so many children grown up without knowing what it means to have a father. Fatherlessness is the most harmful demographic trend in this generation. It is the leading cause of declining child well-being in our society. It is also the engine driving our most urgent social problems, from crime to adolescent pregnancy to child sexual abuse to domestic violence against women. Fatherlessness is the engine driving all of these things. So God's word in the New Testament calls men, again, calls us, you and I, to step up and to lead with courage. It's time for you and I to take advantage of the word of God and start exercising what God's called us to do. The steering wheel is in your hands. The keys are in the ignition. The gas pedal is under your foot. You need your wife. You need to seek counsel from her. You need to live with her in an understanding way. But ultimately, you're the man. You're the man. You're the leader of your home. You love her with an agape love. You disciple your children. And friends, we will change the world for Christ if we'll do it.
Boy, and that's the truth, Dave. You know, I think of why is this guy so passionate? Why is he wired this way? This is partly why the brothers put this movie together. They really do see. They really do believe. You build the man, everybody wins. And, you know, Dave, we had a chance to spend some time with Steve and get to know him a little bit. Got a chance to have some time with him just doing a simple interview, and he gave us a little insight into where this passion comes from.
Brian and Dave, we had the experience of our father blessing us at our weddings, and it was overwhelming. In the Old Testament, God was the first one to do it, and God blessed Abraham. He spoke success over his life. He says, I'm going to make you successful. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to bless those who bless you. He says, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed because of you, and that's, of course, through Christ that happened. Abraham then took that blessing, passed it on to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, and it's continued through the Jewish nation for generations of fathers blessing their children. They're speaking success over their lives. Jesus experienced it from his heavenly Father. When Jesus heard from his Father at his baptism, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Every father should go to his children and say, I love you, you're my child, you're my beloved, I'm pleased with you. And then they should speak success over their lives. They should say, God's got a plan for you. He wants to use you. You're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And not only that, but I'm committed to pray for you, counsel you, encourage you, and cheer you on to help you succeed in the future. In Flywheel, the first movie that we made, there's a scene where Jay Austin surrenders his life to the Lord. His dad comes in, is overwhelmed at this new integrity and commitment to Christ he sees in his son. And he goes over and he lays his hands on him and he prays this amazing prayer. And I'm excited because our father wrote that prayer for that movie. Wow. Because he blessed us. And so it's so powerful when a father tells his kids and prays over them and says, I believe in you. You're such a blessing to me. God has given you as a gift for me. He's got something for you in the future. I think there needs to be a future, you know, as God did to Abraham, there needs to be this future looking of success, of how you believe that the Lord can use them, you know. And as a father speaking that, as a father's committing to do that, it's overwhelming to children when they receive that.
Let's go ahead and let's be the ones to give a blessing. Yes. Make the phone call, put the hands on the shoulders, write the letter, and let's be a blessing to our children.
Steve, before we let you go, what would be one way that you have seen your dad, even in 2010, at this season of your life, and the heart of directing a world-class movie that will go to the ends of the earth? We've been hearing some stories how Fireproof is still going to the ends of the earth. How does your dad continue to share his blessing and bless Stephen Kendrick and Alex Kendrick?
Well, my dad has come to us multiple times in our lives and asked us to forgive him when he saw areas where he failed as a father. And that has meant so much to me because it removes anything the enemy tried to use to put something between my heart and his heart. But also his prayers for us, him trying to walk in integrity for us, modeling an example of Christ-likeness for us. And then sometimes he would send us a little letter saying, here's how I've been praying for you. Or here's a check. Go out and take your wife out to dinner. I just believe in your marriage and I love you. Those kind of things, they feel so undeserved, but it's overwhelming. overwhelming what he can do to still impact our lives.
We may have different emotions, men, when you think of your dad. Some of it may be very rewarding. It's just maybe the lack of relationship that was there. We want to just touch that briefly because we know that from our Iron Sharpens Iron conferences, about 50% of men are given their dad's failing grade. What are some first steps for a guy like that?
You know, I think that God has modeled fatherhood himself. He's the father to the fatherless. He chose, we have to accept the fact that God chose what family to put you in, and that he chose what dad you were going to have. You could have been born in another century, in another family, in another time, no nationality. And when we realize that God uses all things together for good to make me more like Christ, when someone had an abusive father, they can learn about forgiveness. They can learn about healing through a relationship with Jesus Christ like nobody else. They can turn around and begin to minister to other people who've been in those relationships. They can know and pass on to their kids what they didn't receive, what they were longing for when they were kids. And so it's so important. And we saw this happen with our own father. It's so important that we start with forgiveness and say, God, you are the judge of my father. You, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. And so I am not going to be overcome by evil. I'm going to overcome evil with good. And I am going to choose to forgive my father, because when we do that, we break the chain. It's that legacy that's been passed on of sinfulness. A lot of times there's abuse and alcoholism passed on from generation to generation. And then you hear a young man swear, I'll never be like my dad. I don't want to ever be like him. And his bitterness ties that sin to his own heart. And he carries on that legacy with his own children. So forgiveness has got to take place. And then we need to replace that poor example with the Word of God. We let God's Word begin to teach us how to be those great dads.
Would you pray for the men who are listening today that God would give them grace to make that move toward forgiveness?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just lift up men all over the nation, all over the world who are listening to this right now. And we thank you, Father, that you are the perfect Father. And Lord, we are all sinners in need of your grace. And through Jesus Christ, you have shown us mercy that we did not deserve, offering us complete forgiveness. And your word says that if we have received that forgiveness, how can we not extend forgiveness to other people who've sinned against us? That it can cut off our fellowship with you. It can hurt us physically. It can contaminate other relationships when we let bitterness in our lives. Lord, I pray for men that you would give them the grace, the wisdom to open up their hearts and release all that anger and bitterness that they have against their own fathers and turn that over to you. Lord, I just thank you for your word that says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ's sake have forgiven you. Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And by your grace, we can forgive our dads for where they've wronged us in the past.
Amen. I agree.
You know, when we think about being a dad, it starts when? It starts when maybe the baby's in utero. That's really when fathering starts. And when does it end? Well, it doesn't end. Not until we go be with the Lord. Because Stephen gave us a very good, very personal example of how his dad, from the very beginning, has blessed him and continues to do that now. And what a privilege to be around a guy like Stephen. Hey, Dave, when I think about a guy who's fired up about fathering, I think of Stephen Kendrick.
Stephen is fired up, and his brother Alex is equally fired up. And together, these two men had the vision to put a movie out there that would address the number one social issue of our time, which is father absence. I am so thankful for these guys. They've encouraged me that I can shape the hearts and lives of my children, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.